Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
One of our local communities was named as one of Iowa's great places. Let's go in depth with David Schmitz with the Iowa Arts Council and Chris Kramer with the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs. Well, David and Chris, we already knew Indianola was a great place, but you like made it official today. That was really neat. Can you tell us more about that?
Mm-hmm. So the Iowa Great Places program has been around for about 16 years, but was really created to showcase communities for and recognizing them for their greatest assets. And so, you know, while there may be many communities that have, you know, good schools or good downtowns, but what we're looking for is a community that has, how do you stand out? How are you unique? And so Indianola came forth and they really shared with us their community's connection to arts and culture, history, historic preservation, as well as the connectivity to a lot of the recreational facilities. And that's what they came forth with. And so we did a visit in June, and we're so proud that now they're one of our 42 Iowa Great Place communities, and certainly well deserving of the honor.
Well, and it was nice. Governor Kim Reynolds came and recognized Indianola and meet with local officials and citizens, and that was nice.
And it really is a pleasure to have her be so supportive of a lot of our placemaking, creative placemaking. It's really about building communities. And while some people may think Indianola is, you know, part of Des Moines and greater Des Moines, and while there's certainly the connectivity, but Indianola is its own community. And it's important that you continue to build upon all the great assets that you have here so that you can have great quality of life and attract people to this community. You have a lot of great small businesses all around the town square and all around downtown and throughout Indianola. And that's really important because, you know, to keep people just happy and working and active in this community. But I know her schedule, especially during the pandemic, has been challenging, and this has been a place that she's wanted to come to. So as part of her 99 county tour, so we're really glad that Indianola was on the list to come down here.
Well, and David, you're with the Iowa Arts Council, correct?
Yes, correct.
Tell people what the Iowa Arts Council does.
You bet. Well, as Chris said, we're one of three divisions of the department alongside the State Historical Division in the Film Office. The Arts Council, quite simply, Bob, makes sure that Iowans have access to the arts wherever they live, and that's a mission we've been passionate about for almost 50 years. The Great Places program is probably our flagship placemaking program. You heard Chris use that term. Placemaking to us means using arts and creativity and culture to revitalize communities, right? Whether that be their downtown, whether that be public art along trails, whether that be recreational areas that the arts are brought into. And I would just add, one of the things we heard from Indianola leaders that was really unique was that collaboration between college and town. And that doesn't happen in every community, as we know. And it was amazing to hear your Simpson College leaders and your city leaders talking about the same long-term vision. And so, you know, to bring it back to the Arts Council, that's the sort of thing we want to invest in, because we know when there's that shared creative vision around using arts and culture, state investment, if that follows, it's going to be put to good use and help to realize that long-term vision.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with David Schmitz with the Iowa Arts Council and Chris Kramer with the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs. Okay, so how does that work then? Now you know the main people that are the drivers right now
yep.
and their ideas, and then so is there sort of a feedback loop where you counsel them, advise them, resource them, or vice versa? How does it all work from now on?
Well, it certainly is a collaboration, and within the communities. Last year, we started getting all those communities together, and in fact, next Friday, we have a program called the Creative Exchange, and so we're gathering the leaders from all of our Great Place communities so that they can talk to each other, and they can build upon the successes that another town maybe had to work on a project, it might be a historic preservation project, or redoing their town wayfinding and streetscaping and signage. It might be similar to, connecting through your trails, like some of the arts and cultural places to another, to a lake or another recreational facility. So these community leaders can talk to each other and be part of a network to say, oh, so-and-so did that in whatever town. Mm-hmm. And that's somebody that I want to connect with and learn from to see how we can make that happen. So not only will we connect them to each other, we'll provide resources to other state and federal agencies. So making contacts, helping them to understand how to navigate some of the incentives that will eventually leverage a lot of private investment. And then last, and probably most importantly, are the grants. So we offer grants for a lot of these programs, whether it's for Arts Build Communities, recognizing cultural heritage, historic preservation types of grants, or even use of the Historic Tax Credit Program. But also the Iowa Great Places grants that can be used for infrastructure projects. So we offer a variety of different grants, and we just are here to help people develop their projects so they can get them funded.
All right. I like that, funded.
Yes.
All right, so it's their vision, you help them realize it, and it's also, and it's not just about Indianola, it's other 42 places, but then it's other communities that can aspire to be an Iowa Great Place.
Yeah.
I bet that's part of it.
And what's so great about the program, to go back to something Chris said, is it's about looking at what's local and authentic. This is not the program where the DCA comes in and says, this works somewhere else. We want you to export that and bring that into your community. It's about residents getting together with their community leaders and looking at what's unique and authentic in their community. So in my hometown of Charles City, which was an early Iowa Great Place, for them it was the river. And they turned the Cedar River that goes right through downtown into Iowa's first whitewater rafting course, which now brings out-of-state visitors, into the downtown. In my other favorite example is the High Trestle Trail here in central Iowa. That took a lot of state investment, and that was a bridge that originally, the story I remember hearing from the artist that was involved with that, they were just going to do a plaque on that. And an artist was brought in, they created the trestles to pay homage to the mining history, and now, thousands of people a year come across that bridge. So it's about looking at what's unique, what's authentic, and every community has something like that. That's what's so special about this.
Well, and only the people in the community really know what has that deep meaning to them.
Yes.
And then therefore they can share that meaning and others might find meaning in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all about quality of life too. I mean, the main communities that this is broadcast to, Indianola, Pella, Knoxville, Pleasantville, and other smaller communities. Everybody's talking quality of life.
Yes.
And without the arts, without the humanities, you don't really get a quality of life, do you?
We don't think you do. But so, yes, we agree with that wholeheartedly. And, whether it's, look at one town, Earlham. They created a Sunday night concert series in their park. And so we provided a grant through the Iowa Arts Council that leveraged a grant from a national foundation, the Lovett Foundation, that's now funding live music every Sunday night in this small town.
That's amazing.
You look at the, people are willing to drive to a job if they know that it can they can live in a town that's going to support their quality of life. So a lot of our small towns are really coming alive with being able to offer a lot of great things for young families and for others that are just looking for something different. And certainly in the last few months, if you were trapped in a high rise in a big city, just being in the open spaces of Iowa sure sound pretty good to a lot of those folks. Yeah. So I would, you know, personally, I think we'll probably attract some people to states like Iowa, where you do have a little bit more opportunity just to enjoy the great quality of life. But in the towns that you mentioned, too, they're all so different. And each one of them has something to offer and really showcase to attract people to come and want to live and work there.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with David Schmitz with the Iowa Arts Council and Chris Kramer with the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs. I wonder if there's an investment in the arts and the humanities. It sort of gives us a nudge to explore our own creativity, doesn't it? And
yes.
Then the kids pick up on that, and then it's just transgenerational if we do it right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And yeah. It reminds me of some of the, like, the mural projects that, you know, that's very popular right now. People are painting a lot of murals on the sides of buildings, and they're doing it with bringing an artist in, and the artist can help with a lot of youth programs or youth groups, and they'll say, you know, they'll help them facilitate kind of what they want it to look like and how to do it, and it becomes part of, like, a community gathering moment, and it's also then a reflection of the community that they're very proud of, and every time people go by that, it's an iconic image that they can be connected to. So those are just one example of ways that to really reach out to kids and youth. Museums do this, a lot of music. So we have a lot of fun in our job, most certainly. It's hard work, but it's also very rewarding when you get to see how the kids are able to engage and learn so much and learn how to express themselves. So, you know, this is also about, learning how to write and communicate and to really adapt through and develop those 21st century learning skills so that they can go into jobs that don't even exist today.
Yeah. Kids need the creativity, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They do. And I think the opportunity and what we see happening across all this is the arts and culture moving from nice to necessary. Just heard someone else use that phrase the other day as well, and it's so true. I mean, whether it's in a kind of an economic development context, I was just on the phone with Zach Jones, who Chris knows down in Melbourne this morning, an artist who purchased this old church in this town of about 700 people and has turned it into a public art mecca. He's painted all these murals. There's new businesses opening on Main Street around this. This has gotten his town's attention, and now they're doubling down on sculpture and murals and art, right? And it's the same thing in the schools, like you were just bringing up, Bob. We're seeing that arts education and now STEAM and creativity and innovation-based education is what aligns with what Chris was just talking about, these 21st century learning skills. And employers are saying the number one skill is creativity that they're looking for. So we feel like there's a real opportunity across the board to get people to understand it's a necessary ingredient.
Well, and you've made me just want to go out and get my truck and drive there and see it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. It's amazing.
Well, and the economic potential of the arts is incredible. And the humanities.
Yes.
What can other communities, other individuals that are listening learn? How do they go forward to help make this real for their communities, or even some small effort? Mm-hmm. Any advice?
You know, when I look at one way to get involved right away is look at the cultural organizations within your community. We're here in Indianola. You've got a world-class opera, the Des Moines Metro Opera, who Michael Eagle earlier today was talking about. You have visitors come from 40 different countries who come and to see and take part in and participate in and watch the wonderful productions that they put on. More than 200 performers. So right now, you know, even during the pandemic, they've been showing a lot of these performances online. So, you know, go on and look at some of your arts and cultural nonprofits in your community, see what they have to offer, watch some of the performances. You can volunteer, you can take classes, you can become a member. But then, you know, if you feel like getting more involved, become a leader. You know, volunteer for some of these groups that, whether there's a downtown arts council or a historic preservation commission, it might be in a book club that you find out about at the library that are a historical society. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved and be active. Some people like to do hands-on things. You can help make some of the archives in your community digital so that others can access them. If you like writing, you can write stories or blogs. Those are very popular right now about your town's history and maybe an iconic person in your community that people didn't even know about. You know, right now with all the film and media production, you know, people can do a lot with their phones. And so go out and kids can go out and tell stories, interview a neighbor that might have a really interesting story. So there's so many things that you can do just on a daily basis. But hopefully then, once we can get back out and about, you know, just participate. Come to all these live music festivals. And, you know, when they have public input sessions and they want to know what you think, show up and talk about what's important to you, because you might have a really good idea that a city council person is listening and waiting for, and they want to hear what people and what citizens want to help make their communities thrive. Few ideas. Put them on the list.
those are some great ideas, and it's inspirational. Anything that you'd like to add?
Well, it was well said. The only thing I pick up on and just echo that Chris said is to support right now, like Chris said, through your donations. I know a lot of performing arts groups are starting to open up subscriptions for next year, even though maybe they're not performing yet or performing at full capacity. Buy a season subscription, become a member, support them that way, because they really do need that support, especially during this time. But like Chris said, just participating, that kind of everyday citizen-led art and humanities, that's what really fuels the field. There's so many groups that are still volunteer-run or operate without a lot of paid staff, and they really need people to get involved at that level. So all great ways to support the arts right now.
Mm-hmm. And build your community.
And build your community mm-hmm. in the process, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need the creativity, especially as we're coming out of this pandemic. You know, we need to invest early to help our economy recover. But what does that mean? That also means that people need to contribute. And that means personally, financially, but also with your leadership. We need your ideas. We need your creativity. And to think differently, because we've all been, you know, been through a lot. And so what's going to be different when we get on the other side of this? This is a chance to make that happen. And everybody can partake in that. And it's going to be hard. We're going to need a momentum shift because people have been at home on their couches. And so we need people to just really be active again. And when that time comes, we need the creativity and to remember that quality of life is something that we all value and we want it to have in our daily lives.
Thanks to David Schmitz and Chris Kramer for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.